The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everybody. NAFTA podcast episode 199, we'll say. Next one's 200, big 200. Coming to you from Columbus, Ohio. It is a brisk 9 degrees, wind chill, like minus 11. So I have a winter cap on. It is literally so cold in my house. Nick, hopefully it's better on the East Coast.
It's tropical. It's 29.
There
you go. I have a long sleeve on and a hoodie. And I have my quote-unquote, maybe this is a little free promo, Vikingsocks.com wool socks on, and my UGG slippers. So yeah, it's cold here too.
Not sponsored by any of the socks or the UGGs. I wish it was sponsored by UGGs. They make good slippers.
Oh yeah.
I love them.
Slippers, not boots. Not boots with the fur.
No. I have a pair of... I don't think they're UGGs. They might be. I think they are actually UGGs. I got UGG slippers like 2.5 years ago. Wore them to death. They're like basically just fabric now. Like there's no traction on them. Mm-hmm. And I got a pair of... They're like these Nike slipper type like basketball or soccer shoes or whatever. They're really comfy and they have like tread so you can like go outside with them. And I was like, I'm going to get rid of the UGGs and just have these. And the Nike ones definitely have their place, but there's nothing like the UGG slipper, man. Like it's next level.
As you being the youngest and me being the oldest on this pod, I had the original UGG slippers back in high school 20 years ago. And, we used to have to wear a shirt and tie and this ugly ass sweater vest to away games for basketball. It was terrible. I mean, we wore cargo khaki pants. Like, you know,
oh,
it was a different
that's
time,
horrible.
But yeah, but that was in back in 2003, 2004. And we would wear the, me and this other teammate would wear the UGG slippers, and our coach would lose his mind on us, you know, like, you got to wear dress shoes. And we're kind of just like, now that we were angry, we're like, then what's the punishment? Nothing. Like,
yeah.
If he were to bench us, I'd be like, all right, maybe I'll change it. But he just yelled at us, and I'm like, I don't mind getting yelled at. It doesn't bother me one bit. So
doesn't
keep
bother you.
Slippers.
Yeah, dude. Plus, they're just like they're so much more comfy. Like you can, I mean, at the pharmacy, you can wear like Crocs, you know, and like you know, for running around to CVS, definitely not the best, you know, footwear. But if you're doing most of the time is standing and doing stuff, dude, the Crocs are great. Like I wouldn't wear them, but like everyone does. You know,
I've heard I haven't graduated to that game yet. I feel like I do wear Asics lifestyle sneakers now. So I think that's a big step towards my oldness.
Uh-huh.
But the Crocs to me is just that's a point of no return.
Yeah. If you go Crocs,
I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
Yeah. You're in trouble on many different fronts. I went to John and I are running, a half in Columbus in February, beginning of February. And I've been a Nike. I've done a half before. It's not that hard.
No, it's not the running.
Oh, it's
in February,
I hope it's not. I hope it's not as cold as it is now.
Oh.
Very well could be.
Jesus.
But I've only ever worn like Nike shoes, like because I've narrow feet, and two, I'm just like I was just born and raised Nike. Like John was, I was, so whatever. And my shoes like. Losing tread on them running, and I had to get a new pair, and I got a pair of Asics, and I don't think I'll ever go back. Like it's actually just completely better.
Yeah, the Nikes. I used to run in Nikes for a while just because it was again like it was cool is what you wore.
Oh yeah.
We were big. We got free air, not free. It was part of our package. We got the Pegasus in college.
Yeah.
And those were my go tos, but
those are great
shoes. Yeah, then I became a New Balance guy my last few years. But, I think if I was still running, I had a pair of Brooks.
Brooks are good, too.
My running days. They're expensive, but they last, and they're worth it. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. I have the Nova Blast 4s. They're great. But I had the Nike Invincibles, the first iteration. were like the best shoe I've ever put on my foot. And then as Nike typically does, the next two are progressively worse. So I didn't even get the third one. So I was like, I can't. I got to get something else.
They already got you.
Yeah. But we had a half action-packed week, I guess we could say. Only five games, half the Prem playing. So in light of that, Nick, I know we're going to get onto some other topics, but let's get the main one out of the way first. Because there's only five games, one of them being a no-no draw, so we're definitely not going to talk about that one. Let's just do a dude of the week. Let's do one dude, okay? And okay. I know you came prepared, and that's why I asked you if this was okay. So I know you have to narrow it down while I have to try to find one dude, but I'll let you go first, and then I'll finish it off.
All right. Well, I think we'll be coming back to this dude for sure in a few minutes, but my dude of the week is Grant Ingles. Have you ever heard of Grant Ingles before?
I have, yes.
Yes. He was the finance director of Everton, and he had been in and out of it. This was his third stint since 2013. Stepped down in the summer. Which only leads me to believe, not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I just do enjoy a good what could have been, or maybe, you know, maybe I'm a conspiracy light in some things.
Yeah.
Guy had to know. He had to know. And it just shows up again for the second time, as we'll talk about in a few, with Everton potentially being deducted a further 6 points. I mean, claps up for you, buddy, for completely ruining one of the historic clubs in England, and only team that ever be relegated, or like longest team that ever be relegated. I know not from the Prem, but they're one of the only, what, 60, they've never been relegated from the first division, or hasn't been since like 1908, yeah, or something like that.
There's a couple teams, it's from a certain date.
Yeah.
Or we know, it's, but, just, I mean, no, the, sorry, it's just the English first division in 1992, United, Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool, Everton, Chelsea. So they're the big six, and Everton have never been relegated from the Prem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a sarcastic claps up, because it's just, dude, come on. Like, once? All right, twice? Twice?
Yes. Yeah. So I should have went first, because this would have been a flawless transition.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. But I'll just, my quick one is just Premier League, beyond watch. Obviously, we all know what just happened over the weekend. Kevin De Bruyne is back. And if that is him in, what, 30 minutes, then we are all in trouble, I think. I do have some interesting things to say about that game, too, that kind of will contradict what I just said. But it's, you know, goal and assist in 30 minutes. Like, how can you say anything about that? All right, let's get into what you're talking about, though, because it's reported Everton and Nottingham Forest now again facing points deduction from finances from last year, it said. And I was trying to learn about this a little bit because it's definitely an area where I don't know a ton. But, like, essentially $35 million you can lose a year, $105 million over a three-year running span. That got changed to 4 years because of COVID.
Yes.
Where you could lose more, essentially. And it's apparently coming up that Forest and Everton breached that, so they're, you know, they're getting charged with FFP, whatever. They're talking about 6 points another 10 or whatever it is. This is my only question, because everyone is saying, if Everton get another 10 and say they appeal it and it doesn't go through, they're done. They're absolutely out of the league, okay? I still don't think they are. And I could be crazy to lose 20 points and not be relegated. They would be 9 points off of Luton. But I think they're so much better than them.
Yeah. I mean, well, just to clarify, I looked it up here just real quick. It's been 103 consecutive seasons for Arsenal since 1919-1920. And then Everton's been 68 seasons since 1955. But they've also spent 121 of 125 seasons in the top division. So
yeah, that's a pretty insane record. They were crazy early on. Yeah, yeah.
But I was looking at this earlier, this afternoon with, all right, let's do the math. Because I think I remember it was you that said 20 points. This was a month or two back. We were all talking, like, what is the most points they could lose?
And I'm I think sure I said 25.
Said, I thought, I could, I know there was a 20. I mean, I was like, it couldn't have been more than, I mean, it couldn't be more than 20. That's insane. But, like, looking down, I mean, they're, it puts them down to 11 points. Like, I mean, it's not, I mean, they're, the best thing that could happen to them is Forrest gets it too and keeps it. At least that adds another horse to the race. Because if Forrest doesn't take it, I mean, the winner in all this is Brentford. If you really look
at
it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's going to make them feel a lot better. But
let me just put this, though. The last game of the year for Everton is Arsenal at the Emirates, okay? So, like, that's, you know, can't... Everton are good. They could definitely, like, win a game. You know, teams have beaten Arsenal at the Emirates for sure. Fulham, for example. Or maybe they tied them. I can't remember. We did in the FA Cup. Whatever. The four games before that, okay? So, I'll go like this. April 20th, they play Nottingham Forest at home. Then they play Brentford at home. Then they go to Luton Town. Then they host Sheffield United. That is literally... That's not the 9 to 12 points right there. And that's, you're not counting, they host Crystal Palace, they host West Ham, they have to play Bournemouth, they have to play Burnley at home as well. I know it's ridiculous to say, but they could, if they lost another 10 points and you're assuming that they're going to get some of them back through an appeal, they could still not get relegated. Like, it would be very difficult, but they could still not do it.
As the teacher me wants to ask you, what happens when you assume... Michael?
Make an asset of you. But I make an asset of me all the time. Just,
I mean, we all do. But, like, you can't assume they're coming back. But, like you said, with those points, it's possible. The problem is that the rest of the other however many games they got to play, the other 10 or 11 games in between those five, you got to find a way to scrape together another, somehow to get to 10 points or something like that, just to keep yourself close.
Right.
You know, I think if you're close, you can make it happen. I mean, but the thought I'm having is that there's nothing sadder than sending off a ground like that that's had the history that it has, and it's going to be a championship. Like, that's like, you know, as a Liverpool guy, that's where they start. You know, they all started in the same areas. Like, I mean, it's right there. Like, that's how that stadium's going to go down. Is really disappointing. And the other thought that I had is, why now? Why is the FA or whatever, why are they all of a sudden cracking down now and finding ways to do this so quickly? They seem to be acting very swiftly, yet the city stuff's not getting taken care of. Or that, why are they all of a sudden in the last year? And even with FIFA or stuff going on with Barcelona and stuff like that. Why all of a sudden this year is everybody cracking down? Like, because I don't remember it being, you know, there's points to hear that, but I don't remember it being this rampant of enforcement. Because it's usually one of those things that's kind of like,
Well, I think the reason is because, one, there's, like, so much more money in it in general. Two, there are, you know, Newcastle, the report was now that they have basically have to sell to buy. Like, in January, like, they're thinking about selling, like, Guimaraes, Isaac, Joe Linton, whoever. And they're the richest club in the Prem. I mean, they don't have access to that money because of FFP and the, you know, you can't just put billions and billions of dollars into a club and just be like, okay, now you can spend billions of dollars. Like, you have to have revenue. You have to do all that shit. But the bigger thing too, is I think it is becoming way more of a talking point, and not just for pundits and coaches and whatever, but I think, like, people, like, fans are starting to talk about it more as well. And it's going to get to a situation where I think they want to catch up to all the, like, the past seasons so that they have, and that's why the decision for the United, or sorry, the not United, the Man City is, like, the end of this year or whatever. Cause they want to basically resolve all these things so that now these rules are in place, everyone can follow them, and now there's a precedent for all these things. If you don't follow them, this is what you're going to get. And we have this history of enforcing it, basically. I think they're just kind of sick of it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, too, where if you get rid of the smaller ones quicker and just get it out of the way, and then you kind of deal with City later, then everyone can kind of start from a clean slate next year, and they can kind of move forward. But, I mean, it's I wonder if it makes more parity, if it makes the league more interesting, you know, like where you get a little bit more of the NFL-ish, where there's teams that are up and down every year, just because you'll have more of a distribution of talent and wealth in that regard. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I feel bad. I mean, it sucks. Twice in one season, like, that's, you know, that's kind of nuts. I want to know how bad, like, it was $25 million the first time or something like that? Like, I haven't read anything on this, honestly. I haven't gotten in the weeds into it yet, but I want to know how bad it is that they're willing to do this twice.
And I also want to say, too, like, I know Everton have been on, like, a slide. You know, they 2 points in their last five. Before that, I think they were the most informed team in the Prem at one point. They played Spurs, they played City, they played Wolves at the Molyneux. Palace is really the one. It was at Selhurst, so that it's not an easy place to play. And then Villa at home, just this past week, they got a draw. They could have won that game for sure. So I think they've had a tough five games. So I don't think people should be looking at it like this is where they are. I actually think they're a lot better. I'm sticking with it. I think if they do get, I think that what you guys were talking about earlier, like that 16 to 20 point range, will even make it better. 15 to 20. Or were you guys saying 12?
I think we were all in the mid-teens somewhere, if I remember.
But I would say
this is the escape of all escapes if this happens.
I would say 15, I have complete faith that they'll stay up. Because I think they're way better than the three other teams. I think if Forest lose 10 points, they're in trouble. Because
I thought they were only six as well.
Is the six number what they're reporting they would lose? Or is that just a guess? Like, are we just throwing numbers?
I think it's a guess, but what I saw, both would be losing six.
Okay, so if they lose six...
They're at 14, it makes it incredibly interesting. And Brentford, as we said, Brentford wins out in all this. And then the relegation battle, we're potentially lining ourselves up for a hell of a battle at the top and the bottom. Like, we're looking for a really intriguing April and May for the first time in a long time.
Again, they still got they have Sheffield United. They do have Sheffield United, Burnley, and Luton all away. But they have Crystal Palace at home, Fulham at home, Wolves at home, West Ham, Newcastle. And again, like, Newcastle right now, this game's at February 10th. Newcastle right now are not the best team in the world. When they have everybody fit, they're pretty good. But, you know, I think if they lose, I think 10 is problematic because they only have 20 on the year. So you're assuming, like, they're going to get to, like, 30. That's usually not very good. But
they could win. If you get into March, they could win six of their last eight games.
Man, Forest winning six out of eight is... That's a.
I'm still stuck on Everton. I'm sorry.
Oh, Everton. I think Everton could win six of eight games for sure.
Because you got Bournemouth, Newcastle, Burnley, Chelsea, Forest, Brentford, Luton, Sheffield, as you said before. But for them to win six of eight is not a ridiculous thought.
No, and even if they win four and pick up two ties, you know, that's 14 points. That's a tie. Yeah,
so 15 points has got to be the goal out of that, and that's totally without a doubt achievable.
For sure. I totally agree. All
right. Let's speculate some more. It'll be perfect for our souls right there. Just keep chasing our tails like we're a bunch of little dumb puppies.
Yeah, so for sure, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Brentford is the winner in all this. And they basically have to steer the ship until everybody comes back, one from AFCON, And two, they get Tony back. Because he said he's staying. He said he's not leaving in January. Yeah. So that's great for them. I still just think, obviously, the three promoted teams are the three worst teams.
Burnley, sometimes that's not how it always works out.
You're right. You're right. And speaking of promoted teams, Nick, look at that transition.
Ooh, hey.
Burnley. Burnley hosted Luton Town. And it was a thrilling 1-1 draw. Goal by Amdouni in the 36th, and then Morris in the second minute of stoppage time. Nick, I thought Luton were definitely the better team. I watched most of this game half asleep in bed. I know Burnley have a better XG. I think they had a couple more big chances. But shots and shots on target were pretty equal. I know we have disagreed a little bit on protecting the goalkeeper and what is a foul and what is not. Was that not a foul on the Burnley goalkeeper?
There's like half of me that wants to be like, I jokingly like, you know, you run out with your knee up as hard as you can and just be like, yeah, I'm coming for blood. But that just, it's arguably the most egregious non-VAR call of the season.
So I guess where I'm at on it. Good, I can't talk. I think we had a dispute about the Alisson one against West Ham last year. And that one, I think, is a little bit more fair to disagree on because both guys are going up for the ball, you know, close to the apex of where they're going to get it. And a guy hit him or knocked him off or whatever. But I can see a world where, like, they're both challenging. That one was, like, before he could even jump, he got, like, ran into.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that was. I mean, I think everyone was confused about why it was. And the clear and obvious thing, I'm sure, was the culprit. Now, did I lose $35 on that bet? Yeah, I did. But that's not why. I'm a man of character. And I have standards, but it did hurt a little bit to be sitting there looking at a $70 out of $75 payout and then immediately see a ball go in the net. That sucked. But that being said, it was definitely a foul.
One, the keeper has the eyes for the ball. He's going there. Two, I'm gonna butcher his name, so I don't wanna be disrespectful here. But Abiedu, or whoever number 11 was for Luton.
Adebayo,
yeah, sorry. He, you know when you're like, I know, it's you know how when, like, you're a kid and you're walking down the hallway and you're trying to be funny with your friend and you just, like, hip check them as they walk past you? Like, so they, like, bump into it. Like they're walking with, like, their crush and you want to, like, bump them into him so he bumps into her, like, to just kind of be a pain in the ass. Like, that's what he does. Like, he clearly looks out of the corner of his eye. Yeah, and sticks it. Turns his back to make it look like he's not, you know, he's not watching. You know, he doesn't see it, and then he sticks his hip out.
You're right.
And you know, it's. I'll tell you what, it was a hell of a block out. Like, if I'm a basketball coach, dude, you put your hip right on their thigh, like that's textbook right there. But we're not playing basketball.
I thought it was clear that he, like, did it. Like, it wasn't a coming together either. Like, I thought it was very obvious that he took a look and, like, moved into him purposefully. I don't know. Listen, in a vacuum, I love that Luton got a point away from home. Cause if there's one team I want to stay up, it is them. But again, I just think it comes back to the same thing over and over again. Like, refereeing is just not very good. I don't think, or consistent.
I mean, the thing, intent is the thing too, because you're talking about, you know, how many times have we talked about cards and handballs and this and intent? You could argue he's looking at him, he's not looking at him. How many times have you seen a foul call on someone when they're both looking at the ball and someone just jumps over the top of somebody or, you know, does something a little too physical? The intent, what happens versus intent, he doesn't give the guy a chance to, the keeper who's a protected player, you know, doesn't get a chance to do it. So, right now in my book, this is the worst non-VAR call in terms of, like, a handball or something, like, you know, things like that. That was just, and missing it in the moment, I might understand, I can understand, you know, yeah, like,
but
that happens, that happens hard.
So, I mean, I guess it is kind of a VAR problem, though, because like, VAR didn't, it's all VAR.
I was talking myself, the more I was talking, I was like, yeah, this is a VAR issue. Like, you're wrong.
Well, yeah, it's just because if we don't have VAR and he makes that decision, you could sit there and go like, wow, he missed that one. But like, they had a moment to be like, yeah, no, this was a foul. And they went, nope, it's fine. Also, I just want to say, I would be careful on claiming this is the worst call because I can't even remember the 15 other times that I've sat at this chair in this mic and been like, that is a horrible fucking call. So like, I'm disillusioned. Like, I don't even know what was before. So I would have to like go back and like evaluate every bad call to like determine. This one's pretty bad though, for sure.
Yeah. 9 out of 10. Terrible call.
All right. So that was the game on Friday. The two Saturday games, we had a 1-0 win for Chelsea over Fulham. Cole Palmer and a penalty in the 45th minute. listen, we can get into this one too. I'm pretty sure Malagusto should have been sent off this game for a red card as well. I think he was sent off for literally not as bad of a foul earlier in the season. Again, just the consistency. I don't want to get into it again. Just the consistency and like,
can't help. You can't help it. You
dude,
can't
help it. But that's the thing. It's just every game. And I don't want to be the guy on this podcast that just yells about VAR all the time because it's boring for the most part, unless it's like, you know, something horrible, horrible. But it's just, you know, whatever. This game could have been different. But I thought Chelsea, like, pretty much outplayed them at home. I think Fulham are actually a lot better than we have been giving them credit for as a pod. But I think they're pretty comfortably just going to be mid-table.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to see that, I mean, despite the scoreline, both teams did show up. You know, yeah. They showed up to play. But, yeah, I mean, it's very just love. This is the prediction of me coming out. I knew I should have picked Chelsea, but I wanted to kind of see if I could find a way to pick a couple games from you. And clearly it didn't work out for me very well. Trying to find a way to maybe take a little bit of a gamble. But, I mean, this is as expected. Both teams not very good at scoring, you know, right now. But they at least they showed up to play, which was – you can handle that. There's excitement, there's chances. But again, this is what you expect out of two mid-table teams right now.
For sure. For sure. And Chelsea, I think we're in agreement. Chelsea is very firmly mid-table, at least right now.
Yeah, definitely not United mid-table, but like, you know, like Chelsea's mid-table for sure.
Chelsea's mid-table, definitely. all right, next game on Saturday was Newcastle hosting Manchester City. Ended up being 3-2 City. Nice comeback win. First goal, 26 minute by Bernardo Silva, was just absolutely filthy, by the way. There are some sick goals in this game, to be honest. Then the Isak and Gordon goals, basically like the same goal within 3 minutes of each other. Just perfectly bottom right-hand corner. I know John's going to want me to bring this up. Ederson did get injured on an offsides that like they did put the flag up for. I told him it's not the first time this happened to any team. This has been happening for like the past 3 years. They're not going to change it. People are just going to keep getting hurt, whatever. I have to bring VAR or the referees up in every single game, I guess. Anyways, De Bruyne comes on, 74th minute goal, and then he assists Oscar Bob with just the touch and takeaway from the keeper to tap it in was also just disgusting. I mean,
silky, silky.
Yeah, even De Bruyne's goal was probably the worst goal, and it was still nice. Like, it was still a very good goal. so just five goals altogether. This is the one thing I wanted to say about this, and I mentioned it in Dudes of the Week. You know, if this is the start of what De Bruyne's gonna bring, he's gonna come back 100%. Like, he's gonna come back and just be disgusting, which is bad for everybody but Manchester City. That being said, the rest of this team, no Joe Linton from Newcastle. He didn't play. They had Miley. They had Longstaff. Gamarish, dude, Gamarish was just fouling the shit out of people too. Like, they just foul people a lot. At Newcastle, they will outrun you. They will outwork you. They will out, you know, everything. Hustle. They will try to rip the ball from your feet, push you over, kick dirt on you, do whatever. And for up until basically De Bruyne came on, I texted John and I was like, you guys are just getting outworked, man. Like, you can't keep up with them. And they're a team that has been playing the same guys over and over and over again because they don't have anybody else to play. And I don't know what you're going to do if a team just, especially away from home, if a team just outworks you, plays you, because it doesn't seem like you guys are, you know, peppering the goal so much anymore.
I mean, John has nothing to worry about. Like, this is not a big deal for them. I'm just going to keep saying this until it doesn't happen. Like, they're sitting there and I agree with you. Like, everything you said is spot on, but it's like, it's City, you know, they don't have Haaland. De Bruyne, now, if you're going to start pulling stuff like this, like, you can take, if you're going to sit basically with a game in hand in second place, you know, and you and Liverpool are right there, why would you rush him back? This is all you've done for the last, you know, 6-7 years is you hang out, and then you make your run. Like, dude, they're sitting in second gear right now still. They're still sitting in second gear. They don't have to kick it in until, you know, really March or April. They're going to keep hanging around this tight. You know, they'll turn it up for the big games when they need to, but they don't have to rush De Bruyne. Haaland's going to come back, which is still insane that is he leading or he's second in goals and he hasn't played in over a month.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gonna be they're gonna be fine. They're good. They it's in their DNA. They know how to win. They know how to find ways to get things done. It's just like the opposite of what I said last week or 2 weeks ago with my United. I'm like, I'm just gonna watch them suffer. It's like, dude, it's City. Like, what do I have to worry about? There's nothing to worry about. They're gonna be fine.
I will say this too, in that game, Newcastle had 3 big chances. They missed all 3 big chances. They scored those 2 goals from, you know, tight angle, whatever, around the keeper. So, you know, on that break, and I was telling John too, like, Guardiola is not a left back. Like, you got, like, I don't know, maybe in the Bundesliga when he was with Leipzig, I think he was with Leipzig, right? I can't remember for sure. He could play that position. He cannot go forward quickly enough. Like, he doesn't go forward well enough defensively on that side. He wants to be in the middle. I think that's a big problem. Like, he can't play left back there. So I don't know who you're going to have to put there. Like, maybe Nathan Ake. And, there, you know, Ruben Diaz didn't look great either in this game. I think they're going to give up a lot of chances.
I think there's a very easy fix to this. Is that once you get Haaland back, you got to play Haaland. You got to play Julian Alvarez. You go some version of a 3-5-2 or some sort of Christmas tree formation. And, you know, you split Alvarez and you split Haaland. I mean, your problem becomes the midfield, you know, Foden and Doku and Grealish and all those guys, the plethora and champagne problems that John always says. Then the midfield becomes, but you're overloaded in it, and if someone's not playing, just take them out. And that's an easy motivation factor. You're not going to be the guy, take them out. So maybe solving that issue is you go to a back three.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a little, if you're going to give up chances with a back four, might as well give up chances with a back three, and you just go play some Texas Tech football. You know, just run the score up as best you can.
I mean, I think Stones obviously is a big miss for how they wanted to play last year. And they haven't been able to find a guy that's able to go into the midfield like that, because they were playing like 4 center backs essentially at one point. I think it's like, if they can figure out the defense and not give up these chances, especially on counters, which, you know, we play on the counter a lot. Arsenal don't really, they're more possession, but like Brighton can play on the counter. Newcastle, they don't have to play anymore, played on the counter a lot. West Ham, that's going to be a tricky one for them. if they can figure the defense out, and then De Bruyne, like I said, comes back like it seems like he's gonna in that 30 minutes, they're gonna be fine. You know, they're what, 2 points back? Like, might as well just give it to him right now. So
this is like sleepwalking for them.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Sunday games. Obviously, we have that 0-0 Everton Aston Villa. We don't talk about 0-0s on this podcast. Never have, never will. Except for the one time we did. I can't remember what game that was though. But the exciting. I thought this was the most exciting game for sure. United hosting Spurs. Hoyland goal in the 3rd minute, followed by Richie Richarlison in the 19th. Rashford in the 40th, and then the start of the second half saw Bentancur with a goal in the 46th. Ended all squared up at 2-2. Listen, man, I think, one, we have to talk about Timo Werner coming back, got an assist for Spurs.
He's so bad. He's so bad.
I don't think he's that bad. You really think he's that bad?
Yes, I do think he's that. He can play anywhere but England.
No, dude, he already has an assist. One assist. He averages an assist per game.
Yeah, I guess law of averages, I guess that works.
And you know who else averages one assist per game?
Not Antony?
No, Jadon Sancho for Dortmund.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you with that. What was that?
Yeah. Jadon Sancho has the first game got an assist.
Farmers League down there, you know.
Okay, there's some good players that come out of there. One of them named Erling Haaland. So and the other one is Harry Kane, but he is probably going to break that goals record. I have to imagine. Nick, what did you think of your guys' performance in this game? And then I'll tell you how you were wrong.
I thought it was pitiful.
Okay, never mind. We agree. I don't think it was pitiful. I think it's a little strong.
I didn't think it was great. You know, they were clearly attempting to play some counterattack, but you can't play. You're playing against another big club, and you're playing counterattack football. It still shouldn't be 65-35. That's not the exact statistic. Sorry, 64-36. I knew it was pretty close there. Yeah, and you just look when you have a midfield that Spurs had that is completely just a mess, and we can't control possession. Frustrating. And I think that's it. I think I texted it, but like they started to get a little too cute. United did in the second half, you know, with Rashford trying to get too far down the end line or not. There still needs to be more. They're still trying to be too perfect. Mm-hmm. They were better. I mean, the front three the last month has been better, which is nice. I mean, you know, the Rashford goal was just the movement, you know, with just a little give and go in a tight space, something we haven't seen in a very long time, and which is better. But I thought defensively we were still in complete disarray. You know, if we could have put a shift in like we defended against Liverpool, you know, what was that? You know, that was back in December. Mm-hmm. We come out victorious, but I think Spurs very easily could have come away with this victory. Very easily could have come away 3-2 and. Maybe pitiful is too much, but it wasn't. It was exciting. The first half was exciting, but the second half was pretty. It was poor. You know, the inability to possess the ball. It was the worst that Manu looked. But I mean, he's 18. You can't hit. The kid's been playing unbelievably.
Yeah.
You just gotta find. You just gotta find him a partner, because it's Eriksen wants to. He's on the front foot, and McTominay's just not it. So. You can tell me how I'm somewhat right or whatever, but I was more disappointed than feeling good about this. Even though a draw is a positive result for this game.
Yeah.
Or not a negative result might be a better way to say it.
I thought basically down the middle of your team was bad. I mean, that's like great analysis right there. Like their Spurs midfield basically just walked up the field right down the middle a lot of the time. I thought Varane was Johnny Evans got subbed off. I thought it should have been Varane, to be honest. I think he is so far past it at this point. you know, for the name alone, you'll get some money from the Saudi league probably, but like not for the skill of the player. Yeah, fingers crossed. I thought Rashford was good. Hoyland, obviously, that goal was an absolute rocket. I mean, it was,
yeah,
it was crazy. But even then, like the leading up to that goal, like it was basically an accident. Like, took the ball basically off of Rashford. They didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And then he just said, okay, I gotta get it. Like, we have to get a shot off. Because, like, we had wasted this. And then it just, you know, perfect placement. I thought Dalot was really good. Kind of bombing up and down, defending as well. Wan-Bissaka was
He gets fine. A lot of hate. Dalot gets a lot of hate that I don't think is always warranted.
Yeah.
You know,
he has his moments.
He's a solid squad player. Yeah, he's a solid squad player. Like, sometimes he's a little stupid and is out of position, but I mean, he's not a world-class player. He's a very good right back.
Yeah. But like to your point, kind of, you had Oliver Skip kind of bypassing your midfield at times, which is like, that's not good. I mean, I don't know how else to emphasize how not good that is than to just say Oliver Skip was bypassing your midfield.
I'm just a little upset you missed the easiest and best way to emphasize that he skipped through the midfield.
He did.
How do you miss that one?
Because
that's really disappointing. You missed that.
I'm not. I'm gonna be mean here. I'm not old, so I'm not saying.
Or a high school history teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you know.
But listen, I think it's. I was thinking about this when I was watching this game in particular. We always go. Who was showing like they wanted to win the game more, or who was like being positive, and you know, I think they should have won. Well, you think they should have won because it's more enjoyable to watch. Okay, listen, I don't like Mourinho. Like, he plays like ugly football that I don't particularly like. And if he ever heard this, he would just be like, "Who the fuck is this kid? No one cares about him." He probably would never see it, but. You have
respect.
Yeah, you have. You have to respect the fact that he got results. And a lot of the places he went, I know it wasn't always perfect, but like the talk about, for instance, like us against you guys, you know, talking all that shit about, you know, only one team wanted to play. Like, I hate that type of shit because, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, if a team doesn't think they're going to be able to beat you, like a relegated team, they're trying to pick up a point. Like, it's not as nice to watch, but it's just as admirable to sit there and absolutely just get pelted for 90 minutes to get a result than it is to, like, score 6 goals and blow a team away. Like, I think, obviously, one is just nicer to watch and more fun, and that's what you want out of your team, which is why I think, like, as a United fan, you should be wanting more from the team. But at the same time, like, everyone being like Spurs should have won because they were trying more stuff and they were like pushing forward. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, you could have given up 3 goals at any point. They could have given up 3 goals. Either team could have won. A draw is probably the fair result, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they, I mean, maybe I'll backtrack a little here. I didn't get to see the last 15 minutes because we had to go out and do some stuff. And I was just happy that they didn't lose. So I didn't go back and watch the last 15 minutes, but you know, if it's, you talk about Jose, this just triggered a longer thought in my head, but like, he's a results-driven guy. You know, he's a guy that's never built a team to be successful. He's already come into a team that is either, you know, one or two players away or just is a great team and needs just, you know, the mentality and all these and some difficult tactical things. You know, and Ten Hag is a guy that's had some success developing younger teams and younger players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I go back and look at the, and I'm not even trying to compare, like, obviously, whatever, but like what Klopp had to do and what Arteta and had to do and stuff like that. Like, we're in that right now. It's definitely worse. It's more of an emotional roller coaster, I think. You know, like, you see all the memes, like, this was Klopp's first lineup and where it is now, you know, like, there'll be those moments too. But if he's teaching to have character, you know, because we lost. Very quick, we went and we tied. Actually, we were winning 1-0, except the referee stopped his watch and didn't tell anybody.
Jesus Christ.
And then that's a whole other thing because we were playing the Catholic school down the street, who's ranked like top 5 in the state every year. And we were winning 1-0. They scored a goal with the ref's end in the last 30 seconds to send it to overtime. Then the other ref I knew, I saw him a couple months later. He goes, just want to let you know the guy messed up. He didn't stop. He stopped his watch and didn't tell anybody. So he didn't make the signal. So the game should have been over 3 minutes earlier. And I go, I wish you didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
But we ended up tying, but we played a 5-4-1. And I had the center back basically played a sweeper. But I told her to play. I had this whole, dude, this is not in any book. I just made this up on the fly. Like, completely ridiculous. And it ended up working. We literally said, nobody gets in the box.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's only cross from the corners or they're ripping shots. And my goalie was 5'10", which is pretty big for a high school girl. I'm like, go for it. Like, yeah. I go, if they're going to beat you from 25 yards out, good for them.
Right.
And it was, to this day, that was the first time I found out. That is the first time we didn't lose to that school in like 40 or 50 years.
Holy
like
shit.
They'd always, like they're just insane. But it's like, there is something to learning that character, you know, and maybe that's what
and being mentally he's trying tough to put too. In.
Yeah. So maybe that's what he's trying to put in. But I would, as I agree, I would like to see a little more go for it, a little bit more of the Ole, you know, just kind of Ole, just kind of like, screw it, we're going for it.
Yeah.
Or the Ange, you know, Ange, we're down to 10 men, screw it, we're going to play at midfield. But, you know, it is what it is. And I said, we're just going to watch and suffer and just kind of hope that, and just hope that this is one of those seasons you look back and like, okay, he's built something, he's got what he wants. And it's the only way I'm getting through it. Is that I don't need to go down that road again. Just to think there's a bigger picture to this.
Just watch the young guys, which another transition before we get into predicting the games. Hannibal loaned out with an option to buy for Sevilla. There is a buyback clause, it seems like, for you guys. But
that is a Jim Ratcliffe thing that I just read earlier today, that they said there must be and that is brand new for us. Like, and we don't do stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, City always seems like they have like a buyback with their players for the most part.
So at least we did, and you know I'm a huge Hannibal guy. So I mean he'll play, but I told Dylan I saw it first. I said to Dylan, I go, so I jokingly said I think I should get a Hannibal jersey just to be kind of you know a little hipster and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I go and I texted him and was like, yeah, the jersey curse still lives. I didn't buy it, but I'm just like the jersey.
Even the thought.
Oh, terrible.
All right, so. One half of match week 21 done. We have the other half, though, that's going to be, I think, Friday. Or no, I think it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday this week.
Yes.
First game, though, Arsenal hosting Crystal Palace. Arsenal on a slide, just in general. I think they've lost, like, 3 straight games in all competitions. Do you think they get it right against Palace?
I do. I think Palace is... This is famous last words, but they have relatively been a get-right game for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So at least in terms of getting in the far left column. So I'm taking Arsenal. I think they need it, and I think with some rest will be good for them too.
All right, I agree. I got Arsenal as well. Brentford hosting Nottingham Forest with the implications now of the points deduction. I'm thinking this is where I'm standing. Right, I have a draw. Okay. Brentford at home, hosting Nottingham Forest. I think if Forest officially lose the points before this game, I think it's a Forest win.
I think it's a Forest win, period.
Okay.
I do like your thought process, but I think that Forest is riding a little bit of a wave right now. You know, they're having a decent run right here the last few weeks. And Brentford's just hemorrhaging, you know, and they need Ivan Toney back as soon as they possibly can. And if this game's at the City Ground, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that I just think Forest is playing, you know, they're just in a good mindset. They're in a good last couple of weeks of playing. So, I mean, do they play back Blackpool midweek?
Ooh. They do at Blackpool for the FA. You've convinced me. I'm going Forest because Brentford also have, I think, the most players out in AFCON, and they're all important.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sticking with it. Oh, and Brentford plays tomorrow, so
yes,
they're both playing midweek.
Yeah. I'm switching too. I got Forest as well.
There we go.
Sheffield United hosting West Ham. West Ham, a weird team sometimes, but I cannot in good conscience pick Sheffield United.
You literally took and as someone that took Gillingham last weekend.
Yeah,
Gillingham to beat West Ham. I can't not take or to beat. I can't not take. I gotta take West Ham or to beat Sheffield. Excuse me. I gotta take Westfield. Yeah, sorry.
Westfield.
I'm Googling soccer jokes at the same time. So I'm
trying to double duty
here.
All right. Bournemouth hosting Liverpool. This one is definitely a scary one for sure because Iraola has them playing really well right now. This is the thing though, just a lot of time off for the teams. Now I think maybe the form kind of goes out the window, but it's not like they're rolling. I think people are like on vacation a little bit. They're going places, thinking about other stuff. I think obviously this is every game that we play without Salah and Endo at this point is a huge game. Bournemouth can definitely beat us. I think this is a must win for us. I got to win, but I'm scared of this one for sure.
Yeah, I'm taking Liverpool as well, but this has been Bournemouth's bread and butter all year. You know, they're the clear cut underdog, and I could definitely see this going the other way, but I think Liverpool will figure it out and get it done. I don't think Klopp will let them quote unquote sleepwalk into the game and not be prepared to be ready for this. So,
I do. There is one point, I guess. I don't know how long Trent is hurt still, if he'll be back for this game. I think that he might still miss this one as well, which is going to be real interesting. But I think if we get a clean sheet, I think we win this game, hoping that there's something written in the contract that Dom's like, you can't play against us. I don't think that's the case. All right, last game of the match week, Brighton hosting Wolves. This is, again, I think a very interesting one. Wolves been scoring a lot of goals. Maybe not the past game, but they have been scoring. Brighton give up chances. Brighton also score a lot of goals themselves. They're at home. I got to take the Seagulls at home, though, against Wolves. I think Wolves are running a little bit hot, and this break is not going to help them.
Yeah, you know, I'm in a little bit of a moral and family conundrum with this game.
No, you should not be. You should not be.
Well, dude, let me make it dramatic. Come on.
Okay, I was going to say, you definitely know what side you have to be on here.
I had to think about who to pick. And, you know, and it was when I came down to brass tacks, it was a pretty easy pick. I had to pick the Gulls.
Absolutely. The person that you have to see every day. I mean, listen, Caroline, if you're listening, I don't think you care that much, but just, you know.
What she cares about is, I can't wait. I'll tell her on the weekend, the smack talk. She'll definitely text Dylan with some shit talking.
Yeah.
And she's a pretty good shit talker. So I'm pretty excited to see where this and what emoji. She usually throws a bunch of emojis at the end of a soccer trash talk set. So that's always the more enjoyable. What kind of emojis come in with the trash talk?
You know what? I don't know what way like the knife emoji is. I think it might be down. It would just be sick if she just had like seagulls and then knives falling and like a pack of wolves.
Oh shit, that's really good. When she told me that off air, Dylan's gonna listen now. He's gonna know.
No, dude, he won't listen. He's busy. He's got his anniversary, dude. All right, cool. Well, so obviously the other two will have their picks in. Nick, under an hour, that's really good for us, especially you and I. We're usually the long-winded ones, so...
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so did Dylan leave you with a joke, or did you take up the mantle?
I took the mantle up here, and since you were walking the dogs, and I was chilling on the couch with Elsa watching some football, we had to go pet-themed here.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't the dog want to play soccer? He was a boxer. Cheers.
the NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.